Garti ba'echarad oto. Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the word garti is the same letters as taryag. He's telling the brother, "Betaryag mitzvah shamarti." How is this physically possible? If a person lives in chutz l'aretz, he can't fulfill any of the mitzvahs hakliyos l'aretz. So what does he mean that he fulfilled all the taryag mitzvahs? What does the Medrash mean? So the Prima Godim writes in his sefer Tevas Goyma. Prima Godim has a sefer on Chumash, and every parsha he has a minimum of three paragraphs. One is on Gemara, one is on Medrash, and one is on Agoda. Exactly what's the difference between Medrash and Agoda, I'm not sure. But that's the Rashi Tevas Goyma, Gimel, Tevas Goyma, Gimel, Mem Aleph is Gemara, Medrash, Agoda. The Poskim always quote from this. So the Prima Godim writes in his sefer Tevas Goyma, Prima Godim has a sefer on Chumash, and every parsha he has a minimum of three paragraphs. One is on Gemara, one is on Medrash, and one is on Agoda. Exactly what's the difference between Medrash and Agoda, I'm not sure. But that's the Rashi Tevas Goyma, Gimel, Tevas Goyma, Gimel, Mem Aleph is Gemara, Medrash, Agoda. The Poskim always quote from this, Kivega and others often quote from this Prima Godim sefer Tevas Goyma. So on this Pasuk he says that what it means is that he learned the dinim. If you learn the dinim, that you all the mitzvahs have different halakim to them. You have machshava, dibur, and maisa. So you have to learn the dinim, and you have to try to understand what's the moral, ethical, or religious principle that the mitzvah is trying to teach us, and then you have to actually do the mitzvah b'poyel mamish. So even in those mitzvahs, if you don't have the ability to fulfill the mitzvah in actuality, because there are some mitzvahs that are only for Kohanim and not for Yisraelim, and some mitzvahs only for Yisraelim and not for Kohanim, only for the Melech and only for the Tzibur, the different mitzvahs. It's impossible for any person, even if he lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's impossible for anybody to fulfill all the 613 mitzvahs. So one suggestion Achronim give is that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zechzer. If I'll do my mitzvahs and he'll do his mitzvahs and the other will do his mitzvahs, before you perform a mitzvah you say, you're doing this B'Shem Kol Yisrael. That's in the Chassidish and Nusach. You say the Shem Yichud, so you say you're doing it B'Shem Kol Yisrael on behalf of the whole Jewish nation. Yeah, but that's Nicha if there are other Jews who were doing the other mitzvahs, but there's nobody else doing any other mitzvahs. So the Mefarshim is saying, look, at least you learn. So you learn the dinim of the mitzvah and you try to figure out what more ethical or religious lesson is the mitzvah teaching us, even if before mamish you don't perform the mitzvah, but to the best of one's ability one observes all of the taryag mitzvahs. Machshav and dibur, even if you don't do the mice. That's what some suggest. Others suggest that maybe he fulfilled some of those mitzvahs which are shkulas keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kulam. That's how the later Svarim suggest. There is several mitzvahs which are singled out by the Talmud and by the Midrashim that are shkulas keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. So one of those mitzvahs that shkulas keneged kol ha-mitzvahs is yeshivas Eretz Yisrael that he wasn't able to fulfill. He was living in chutz l'aretz for 22 years. But the other mitzvahs, tzitzis is shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kulam. Other mitzvahs are considered shkulas keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kulam. The pasuk says that he was very nervous on this occasion. Vayira Yaakov miyoyed vayetzer lo. He was very nervous. What was he afraid of? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he was afraid. He was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to be with him. He had a promise from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what was he afraid of? If the Ribbono Shel Olam had promised me, would I be nervous? Maybe. So the question is, why was Yaakov Avinu nervous? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Shema nislachlachti bechet. Maybe I sinned, and maybe because of the fact that I sinned, maybe I don't deserve that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fulfill the promise any longer. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. So in the Pirush of Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, on this, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi has a running commentary on Pirush Rashi al Atero. The Sifsa Chachamim always quotes. So the Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi and others are bothered with the Kasha. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah quotes a Gemara Masechah Shabbos that there's a difference between a Nevuah L'Toivo as opposed to a Nevuah L'Ro. And the Nevuah L'Toivo will always be fulfilled, even if the circumstances change later on, even if the person sins. If the Navi promises something L'Toivo, so it's going to be fulfilled. And the Nevuah L'Ro will not necessarily always be fulfilled. If the person does tshuva, like Yonah HaNavi gives a message to the people in Nineveh, another 40 days the city will be overturned, and then they all did true and the city was not destroyed. And that's why he didn't want to, Rashi and his Pirish on Yoyne quotes from the Medrash, that's why he didn't want to deliver the Nevuah, because he figured that they're probably going to do tshuva. They're not like the Jews, that you scream your heart out and they don't do tshuva. These guys, you tell them the city's going to be destroyed, they're going to do tshuva. And it's going to show, it's going to reflect badly on the Jewish people, that the Umasoylem do tshuva and the Jews don't. So that's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. That's why Yonah Navi didn't want to deliver the prophecy in the first place. He figured they're probably going to do tshuva, and the prophecy will not be fulfilled. So Nevuah L'Roah is always assumed that it's Ala Tanai, unless they do tshuva. The will of Tevah is absolute. So how can it be if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov Avinu, so what was he worried about? Shemon islach lachti bechet. So some of the Meforshim explain that if you look in the Rambam, if you adrab, you look in the Rambam, because he said out there, you see that the kasha is not a kasha. The Rambam explains why is it. Rabbi Tzvachana has this in the Hagdamah to one of his Svarim, but other Svarim write the same as well. The Rambam in Yesed out there explains why is that the case, that a Nevuah L'Tayva is always going to be absolutely fulfilled, and it's not Ala Tanai, because the Torah tells us that there's an institution of Navi Asheker. If a Navi tells you something, he wants to establish himself as a Navi, so he prophesies that something's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. So then it says in the Chumash, if it doesn't happen, so that's a clear indication that he's a Navi Asheker, and he deserves an Einish Misa. Navi Asheker is Misa. So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, how do you know that the Navi Asheker told a lie? Maybe the Nevuah was Ala Tanai, and because the circumstances changed, the Navi can always dray out, he can dray his way out of it later on and say, the circumstances changed, the people did Averis, so that's why the promise L'Tayva wasn't fulfilled. So that's what the Rambam says, so you'll never be able to test the Navi, whether he's a Navi Asheker or not. It says in the Chumash, if the Yosem Ophis doesn't come true, then the Yodua, that is in Ovi Hashek. How is it the Yodua? Every Nevuah is understood that it's only if the circumstances don't change. So that's what the Rambam understood from the Gemara. If a Navi is delivering a Nevuah to someone else, if it's a Nevuah, the Ra, so you can't tell whether he's an Ovi Hashek or not just because the Ra doesn't occur, the Oynish doesn't occur. It's self-understood that Nevuah, the Ra is Allah tonight. But in Nevuah, the Taiba, some Nevuah has to be believed tonight. So that's what the Gemara understands, and Nevuah L'Tayva is always going to be believed on. But when is this? So the Achreinim say, when is this? Bamidvar Mamurim, if it's a Navi who's delivering a prophecy to somebody else. But here, it's not that a Navi told this to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu heard it directly from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the Nevuah L'Tayva. So what, in order to be established as a Navi, a Shek and Navi, it's not a Shaila of someone being a Navi, a Shek and Navi, a Emes. If one gets the Nevuah directly from the Rabbanu Shalom, even the Nevuah L'Tayva is also only Ala Tanai. The Nevuah L'Tayva is always going to be absolute. If the Rabbanu Shalom gives the Nevuah to a Navi to deliver the prophecy to someone else, to someone other than himself, so then the Gemara understands it has to be absolute. It can't be that it's, everything is Ala Tanai. Nevuah the Road, Nevuah L'Tayva, everything is Ala Tanai. So then you can never check out to see whether the Navi is a Navi Shek or Navi Yams. But if the Nevuah is being directly delivered to Yaakov Avinu, he knows that it's authentic, he knows it's a Nevuah. It's self understood that it's Ala Tanai. And if Shemon is Lach Lach De Bechet, it's goodbye Nevuah. So the promise L'Tayva will not necessarily be fulfilled. That's why he was concerned. Vayira Yankiv Miyoy. He was very nervous. There is a Gemara in the end of Brachas, but the Gemara tells a story that one of the Rabbanim saw one of the Talmidim in Yeshiva was very nervous about something. So he said, Chatoat, he must be a sinner, because the Pasuk in Navi says, Pachadu Betzion Chatoim. Only the people who are sinners are nervous, because the people who are religious have bitochen in the Rabbanu Shel Olam, that whatever the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants in this world is going to happen. If he wants me to die, I'm going to die. If he wants me to live, I'm going to live. So I don't have to be afraid. What am I afraid? Maybe my time has come to die. So it's time to die, goodbye. Say goodbye to everybody and die. What's... You're afraid, maybe it's not my time to die, maybe I'm going to die because of some accident. There is no such thing, you don't have to worry. You're supposed to have bitochen, you're supposed to have emuna. Bitochen is when the emuna is lamaisa. Emuna is an abstract, we believe that God is in full control of the world and nothing is going to happen against his wishes. And bitochen means that I lead my life in accordance with this abstract principle of emuna. The Chazon Ish has a little sefer called emuna bitochen, so he says, Bitochen doesn't mean that everything is going to turn out well. The guy's dying from cancer, so you tell him, have bitochen, you're going to survive. Why is he necessarily going to survive? Most of the people who have cancer do not survive, depending on what stage they've reached. So bitachon does mean that everything's going to turn out well. Bitachon means you lead your life according to emunah, and the emunah is that God is in full control of the world, and nothing is going to happen against God's wishes. That people think that they're in control is not so. The Ribbono Shel Olam also has a day in running the world, so he is in full control. So that's what the Chacham tells his student, Chatoat, he must be a sinner, because what are you nervous about? The Pasuk says, Pachad b'tzion chatoim, only the sinners are nervous. So then the Talmud says, but there is a Pasuk that says, Asher yodah mefachei tamid, is the praises of a person who's always worried, who's always concerned and always nervous. So the Rebbe said, no, that Pasuk means that a person should always be nervous. Maybe I'm not keeping the mitzvahs properly. He should always be testing himself and thinking, maybe he can improve, maybe he can, maybe he's violating averus and so on. But the person is not supposed to be worried if he really has emunah. So he's supposed to lead his life in accordance with the principles of emunah, and he shouldn't be concerned about the fact that maybe an accident will happen and so on. Shouldn't be concerned about that. So that's what some, I think the Sfasemis may quote this, interpretation of the pasuk. Vayira Yankev miyoid, vayetzel lo. Yankev was very afraid, and then he was aggravated over the fact that he was afraid. He realized that he shouldn't have been afraid. Vayira Yankev miyoid, he was afraid. Then vayetzel lo, he was aggravated why he was in such a state of mind. He shouldn't have been afraid. The way the Medrash goes, that Rashi quotes, vayira Yankev miyoid. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. He's nervous, maybe he didn't fulfill the mitzvahs properly, and maybe he doesn't deserve the Hatzolah anymore. But according to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, that he wasn't afraid about sins, he was just afraid about the encounter with the forthcoming encounter with his brother. So then the Sfasemis quotes such an interpretation, after he was afraid, so vayetzalo, he was aggravated over the fact that he was afraid. I don't know, after September 11th, a lot of businessmen stopped traveling in airplanes. I think I traveled more in the last year than in previous years. I don't know why should people be so afraid. I think the Jewish people are less afraid than the Ummah, because the Jews have been suffering persecutions for the last 2,000 years. So this is the way we always live. Somehow the Ummah Sa'ilam never, Americans never, Baruch Hashem, they never suffered anything like this. So they fall to pieces after September 11th. The whole country, a lot of people just went wild. They're so nervous. They're afraid to go on airplanes. The Tzukim say that when Yaakov Avinu was crossing over the river, so he took his wives and his belongings and his 11 children. So the Medrash is bothered with the problem. What do you mean? He had 12 children already. He had 11 sons and he had one daughter, Dina. So what happened to the 12th child? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that he was hiding Dina. He was hiding out Dina. How did the Medrash know that Dina was the missing child? It just says there were 11 children. Maybe it was Reuven, maybe it was Shimon, maybe it was Levi. How'd they know? It doesn't say Yiladov means his 11 sons as opposed to daughters. No, Yiladov means children. So how did they know to point the finger that it was Dina, that he hid out Dina? So there's a famous explanation that's given in the name of the Vilna Goyen. And then the Netziv has a different, totally different Mahalach, not like the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen quotes there are Midrashim that discuss why is it that later in history the Beis HaMikdash has built Bechelka Shel Binyamin. That's what Yankel Avinu said in the Tzavos in Parshas Vayechi. Before he dies, he gives the Tzavos. He says the Shechina will be Shoyre Bechelka Shel Binyamin. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Bezos HaBrocha, also the Brocha for Binyamin, Bank Safe of Shochin. The Shechina should be Shoyre Bechelka Shel Binyamin. And the Gemara says in the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim was divided. Half of Yerushalayim was Bechelka Shel Yehuda, and half of Yerushalayim was Bechelka Shel Binyamin. And the Mizbeach had to be built Davke Bechelka Shel Binyamin, and that's why part of the Mizbeach was missing. There was no Yisod on two sides of the Mizbeach, because even 1 inch of the Mizbeach cannot be Bechelka Shal Yehuda. It has to all be Bechelka Shal Binyamin. So the Psukim say like that. That's what Yaakov Avinu said before he passed away, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said before he passed away. That's the din, that the Shechina has to be, and Mizbech has to be Bechelka Shal Binyamin. But why was that so? The Midrashim asks, why was Binyamin Zoicha to be the Ush Pizach on the Shechina, that he should be the host, and the guest should be the Shechina visiting in his Chelka Shel Binyamin? So one of the official answers that's given by the Medrash Rabbah is that when they all met up with Esav and everybody was bowing down, Binyamin never bowed down because he wasn't born yet. Binyamin didn't bow. There's another Medrash that says Binyamin was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Sabra. And the others were born Chutzlords. And the Belt says that these two are the same thing. The Sabras don't bow down. The Bnei Chutzlords, they're always very, the Jews and Chutzlords are always very respectful to the Goyish government. And even when they go to Eretz Yisrael, they're also very respectful to the United Nations and to America. And the Sabras are very independent. They don't bow down to anybody. Whoever was born in Eretz Yisrael is not going to bow down. And it's a Hava Hatalia. That's why the Beis HaMikdash was built the Chalka Shal Binyan. Whatever, this is the two explanations that are given by the Medrash. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. How do you know? How did the Medrash know that Binyamin was the only one who didn't bow down? But the Pasuk says that there were only 11 children and one was not there. So maybe the one who wasn't there was Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So maybe there were two sons who didn't bow down. So the answer is no, Dina was the one who was missing. All the sons did bow down to Esav. Dina was missing the daughter. The daughter didn't get any chelik in Eretz Yisrael. There is no Shevet Dina. So that's the Medrash. The Chazal had a tradition that the Mizbeach was built by Chelka Shel Binyamin. He was the only one of the Shvatim who got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael who didn't bow down to Esav. All the others were the 11 sons who did bow down. And the one who wasn't present at the time was the daughter Dina. That's what's famous in the name of the Vilna Gaon. That was the tradition that Chazal had, that it was Dina who was missing. She was the 12th child who was not there. And the Netziv has a different suggestion, not based on that tradition. The Netziv says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yankov Avinu on this occasion, Goya Kagoyim Yemi Meko, Umalochim Mechalotzecho Yeitzeyu. So what is that referring to? Goy Kagoyim Yemi Meko. So the Chazal, Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara that refers to each one of the Shvatim is called Goy. Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Each one of the Shvatim is called Goy and called Kohol. So the question, Yaakov Avinu started to wonder what he means. But he only had one more Shevet. He only had Binyamin afterwards. So he understood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Goy, a Shevet, Kahal Goyim Yemi Meko. One Shevet is going to be born yet, and another Shevet. So how come it's so Goy, Kahal Goyim? What kind of a Lashon is that? So he understood that one of the Shvatim is going to split into two. So that's what he gave that blessing to, Yosef. He said, you should be split into two. Menashe b'Ephraim, I consider two different Shvatim. Kiruvim v'Shimon Yehuli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me I'm going to have one more Shevet that's going to be Binyamin, was born afterwards. And he told me another Shevet is going to split. So I give you that blessing, that Shevet Yosef should be Kiminah. Menashe b'Ephraim, Kiruvim v'Shimon Yehuli, just like Reuven v'Shimon are two Shvatim, so Menashe b'Ephraim should be two Shvatim. So this Pasuk, Goli Kagoyim Yemi Meko, is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives that each one of the Shvatim is called a Goy, it's called a Kohol. The Gemara has a Machleika Satanoim, and the Mishnah is in Hoirius, regarding the din of Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. We spoke about it the other day. Wrong Shia? I just spoke about it recently in one of the Shia. The din is that there's a din of Par Halam Davash El Tzibur, that if the Bez Nagodol paskins that you're allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos, and the Rav HaTzibur turns on lights on Shabbos, listening to the Bez Nagodol, Chief Rabbin, it said it's Mutah, it's Mutah, well, you have to be Machmer. And then after a couple of years, they realize they made a mistake, and they paskin that it's also to turn on the lights. No one should turn on the lights. So all the people who turn on the lights are in violation of Chilu Shabbos. Each one has to bring a Korban Chatos. If the Bez Nagodol decides that that's an Issa Deraisa, so the din is, yes, each person has to bring a Korban Chatos, unless Rav HaTzibur violated this Aveira based on the Psaka, the Bez Nagodol, then the Bez Nagodol brings one Chatos, Par Halam Davash El Tzibur, and then Yechidim HaMiskaper, the Yotzi with that. If Miut HaTzibur violates the Aveira, and the Bez Nagodol is not going to bring a Par Halam Davash El Tzibur, so there's a Machlekes Satanan, we passing Yochel Shosabai Roz Bez, and is Chayiv Chatos, does bring a Chatos. The only time the Yechidim don't bring a Chatos is if the Rav HaTzibur violated the Aveira in such a way that the Bez Nagodl has to bring a par on Davashal Tzibur, so then the Yechidim Amiskapa with that Chattas HaTzibur. So the Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanayim. In Hoyrius, there's an institution of Sanhedrin Shal Sheva. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Shoftim Shatatit Lacha Lishvatecha. It says, V'chol She'arecha Lishvatecha. Every Sheva should have its own Bezdin. What do you mean every Sheva? Every city has its own Bezdin. There are only 12 Batidinim with Shvatim. There are hundreds and thousands of Batidinim. Every city has its own Bezdin. So the Gemara says that's a Bezdin Lachol Ear of the Year, and there's another Din Bezdin Lachol Shevet V'Shevet. What does that mean? So Taisa says in Sanhedrin, in the first parak, Bezdin Lachol Shevet V'Shevet means if you have a city that's divided in half, like Yerushalayim, half is Shevet Yud and half is Shevet Binyamin, so even if one Bezdin would have been sufficient, it happens that Yerushalayim is gigantic, they need more than one Bezdin, but even if one Bezdin would be sufficient, the Din would require two. You need one Bezdin for the Chelk of Shel Ha'ir, that's the Shevet Yehuda, and another Bezdin for the Chelk of Shel Ha'ir, that's the Shevet Binyamin. That's what Tosfos writes. And the Ramban HaChumash doesn't think that that's the Pshat. Ramban HaChumash says, no, every city has to have its own Bezdin, Sanhedrin 23, and every Shevet has to have the Bezdin HaGodol, Shel Osa HaShevet. And he says, I'm not making it up, it's an off in a Mishnah, the first parak in Hoyrius, but there's a Machlokes HaTanayim. Whether the institution of Par Helam Dovashal Tzibur, that if the Rei Batzibur violated the Aver based on the Psak of Bez Nagol brings this Korban Par Helam Dovashal Tzibur and the Yechidim HaMiskaper, so there's a Machlokes whether that only applies to the Bez Nagol, should be Yerushalayim, should be Lishkas HaGozes, or applies to the Bezin Shal Kol Shevet V'Shevet, considering that every Shevet Dik Rikol, Shevet Echad Dik Rikol, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yankim Avinu Na, Goya Kal Goyim Yemi Mekko, So he told him he's going to develop into another, going to have another baby, Binyamin, going to be another Shevet, and another Shevet is going to split into two. One Shevet Yosef is going to split into two, Menashe Ephraim. So you see that every Shevet is called Kohol and Goy, so maybe the din of Parhal and Dovah Shel Tzibur that says, V'nel M'dovah Miyeni HaKohol, maybe that's fulfilled by the Sanhedrin G'doylo, Shel Kol Shevet V'Shevet. So that's a Machlokes HaTanayim. Ramban just writes he's not sure what the constitution of that Bezna Gol Shel HaShevet should be. Is it a Bezna of 23 or is it a Bezna of 71? Maybe it has to be 23 because Bezna Gol of 71 is only in Yerushalayim. I remember when we were learning this, Rav Soloveitchik thought that it should be 71. Why should they be a higher authority than the other Batidinim that are 23? But that's what the Ramban is not sure. Because on the other hand, the Bezna Gadol should be Shalayim 71. So how can you have others who are 71? So why are they higher if they're all 71? Okay, so that's a Shaila. So there's a Rav Elbel Soloveitchik points out there is a Pirush HaRaivit on Toras Kohanim. That is a fact. You don't need Rav Elbel Soloveitchik to point that out. There is a Pirush HaRaivit on Toras Kohanim. That's a statement. And then Rav Elbel Soloveitchik points out the following Pirush HaRaivit, that there is a Pasuk in Vayikra where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Jewish nation will never be wiped out. So that promise, L'chera, goes on the whole Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a nation. So the Ravid writes, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu, each one of the 12 Shvatim is a Goy, is a Kohol, Shevet Echad Ikri Kol. So the promise that Klal Yisrael would never disappear applies to each one of the Shvatim individually. That's the Gemara has such a lashon in Perek Yesh Nechon. The Gemara is working out Dinam of Yerusha. If somebody dies, he has sons and daughters, so the sons get. If he has no sons, so the daughters get. If he has no sons, no daughters, so the brothers, the sisters, that. The Gemara works out, someone's going to get. The Gemara says, and what's going to happen if the whole Shevet is wiped out? Why don't you give a mashal that the property goes be Yerusha to all of the other Shvatim? So the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Lord called the Shiftim Yisrael. That'll never happen. An entire Shevet will never be wiped out. We don't know exactly who belongs to which Shevet. We only know Shevet Levi. The Kohanim and the Levim are from Shevet Levi. We don't know who's from Shevet Reuben, Shimon, Yisachar, Zvon. We don't know who's who. But the Gemara says we have a tradition that no Shevet can possibly be wiped out entirely. Even the Aseres HaShvatim disappeared. The majority of the Aseres HaShvatim disappeared. But there are certainly thousands of people who remain behind from the Aseres HaShvatim. So no one Shevet was ever wiped out. So the Ravid writes in his Pirush on the Torah's Kohanim that Haftocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that the nation of the Jewish people will never be wiped out, that applies to each and every individual Shevet. And Klal Yisrael because Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. So the Netziv writes in his commentary on Chumash something, he always has something very original. He says, How did the Tanoim understand? Why did they understand that it was Dina who wasn't there? When they were taking attendance, the 11 children who were there were the sons, and the daughter was not there. So he says, Pashit, because each one of the Shvatim has a promise, they won't be wiped out. So Yaakov Avinu is going back and forth, carrying the valises here, transporting everybody. So the Shaila is, he's going to lead the children over there, and he's going to go to the other side of the river to bring the valises. So who's going to watch after the children? What's going to happen if Esav is going to start up? So he says he wasn't worried. He had a tradition, no one of the children would die out. Gemiri, the Lord called a shift to Israel. And Dina, there was no promise. Dina is not a shevet. Dina, there was no promise that she's not going to be wiped out. So Dina, he had a hide. He had to make sure that he's protecting Dina all along. Each one of the Shvatim wasn't afraid that anything was going to happen. That's not the way it sounds from the Chumash. You get the impression he was afraid. He's afraid he's going to kill all the children. He's afraid he's going to kill everybody. I don't know. That's at this an original twist that the Nitziv had. Huh? Yeah, I think they were all too young. I don't think anybody was married yet. I don't know. That's the Nitziv suggestion. The Gemara in Saita has a whole sugya of Chanifa L'Rishoyim, that you're not permitted to pat a Rosh on the back and to imply as if he's a wonderful guy, that everything is marvelous that he does, and we have no tightness against him. It's in a certain sense a violation of Lifnei V'Lesitim Lichshol. You pat the guy in the back, you know he's married to a non-Jewish person, he doesn't keep Shabbos at Kashrus, he doesn't observe any mitzvah, he doesn't come to shul, and you treat him the same as everybody else. You imply as if he doesn't have to improve his ways, everything is fine and dandy the way it is. So in a certain sense, that's a violation of Lifnei V'Lesitim Lichshol. So the Gemara considers this a serious avera. Chanifa L'Rishoyim, there's nothing wrong with it being friendly with him, but he has to know that you don't approve of his way of life, that he's supposed to keep Torah mitzvahs. You know, you're not mechuyev to bop him over the head, but it's not proper to just to be... There was a certain yeshiva in the Midwest where the main supporter was a Jew who was married to a non-Jewish woman. So they once had a fundraising Malava Malka for this yeshiva. So the non-Jewish wife got up and she said she donates $5,000 from her own money in honor of her husband's religion. So she's not Jewish, in honor of her husband's religion. So Baruch Hashem, that yeshiva closed down already. But Moshe Feinstein has in his tshuvas, he said that he considers this a major problem. All the yeshivas, or almost all the yeshivas, honor non-observant Jews, very non-observant Jews, and they just pat them on the back and they say what marvelous actions the person is doing, supporting the state of Israel, supporting this yeshiva, and supporting all the Jewish causes. What do you mean? Wonderful things. But he's married to a shiksa. What do you mean? He never comes to shul. He never keeps any mitzvahs. His business is an avera business. He sells non-kosher, he sells basa b'chola, or whatever. He does averas all day and all night. So what do you mean just pat him on the back? So that's Rav Moshe Feinstein says that's a major problem of Chanifa L'Rishoyim. There's a whole sugi in Soita about the seriousness, and the Rabbeinu Yoel and the Shari Tshuva, there's a whole section about the Kat Chanefim, the people of Chanifa L'Rishoyim, that in a certain sense this is a serious form of Lifnei V'Lesitim Lichshol. It just encouraged the Rosh to believe that there's nothing wrong with his way of life, and he can keep on, if he keeps on giving his annual support to your yeshiva, he'll go straight to Gan Eden. Nothing, that's the way they describe when they give him the testimony. Go straight to Gan Eden because he gives a few dollars to the yeshiva, which are peanuts. So this guy's concerned, a few dollars are meaningless. Why should he go to Gan Eden? What about all the averes that he did? How's he going to go to Gan Eden? So the Gemara then says, after a whole sugya, then the Gemara says, Muta lahachnif rishoyim ba'olam hazeh. Ba'olam hazeh you permitted to chamfer the rishoyim. As we find, Yaakov Avinu is about to meet up with Esav. So he says, Ko'amar achicha Yaakov, your younger brother, I love you. And he's giving him a matone, la'adoni li'esav, my master Esav. He's chamfering him, buttering him up from the beginning to the end. So Taisus can't understand, after a whole sugya of Chanifa L'Rishoyim, then the Gemara says, Ba'olam hazeh it's muta. So when is it also? Ba'olam haba. Ba'olam emes. So the Gemara goes Ba'olam hazeh. So what does it mean, muta lahachnu rishoyim Ba'olam hazeh? It doesn't make sense, the hemshech ha-sugya. So Taisus says, what it means is, Ba'olam hazeh, if there's a circumstance of pikuach nefesh, Pikuach nefesh is derech kol atarkula, except for the gimel averus achamurois. So muta lahachnim shoyim b'olam hazeh. Yaakov Avinu is afraid that Esav is going to kill him. Misnachem alecha lahargecha. He wants to kill him 22 years before. And he's still petrified, maybe he still wants to kill him. And according to the tradition of Chazal, he did still want to kill him. And somehow his inner feelings were prevented from coming out. It says, Vayishakeyu, right? Vayichavkeyu, Vayishakeyu. Somehow his interest in killing Yankov didn't come to fruition. So Yankov really had what to be afraid of. So that's where the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Boilam Azeh means when there's a Sakonis Nefashis, there's Muta Lahach Nefishoim Boilam Azeh. But Stam Chanif L'Rosham Stakanat Muta. There's no Sakonis Nefashis. I don't know. After the Gemara lays it on so thick about the seriousness of the Avera of Chanif L'Rosham, that it's a violation of Lifnei Iver, so one might have thought that Kvot Nefesh is not Deuche. Let's say if the fellow is an Ovid Avodah Zarah, Esav was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So maybe one might think that Techamfe Esav is an Abizrahu of Avodah Zarah. So then it's like Yehorik Vayavar. So the Chiddush is that it's not considered an Abizrahu of Avodah Zarah. If he won't hear me, why am I praising him? The Gemara comments on the pasuk loisachanim. It's a difficult verb, loisachanim, in Chumash Dvarim. So the Gemara has three interpretations, and we accept all three levels of interpretation. So one of them is loisachem b'yeinechem, that you're not allowed to praise a nochri, even not from the Zainum. The Rambam says you're not allowed to praise a nochri who's an author of a book, or an athlete, or a movie star, or something like that. The Gemara tells the story that Rabbi Akiva saw this good-looking non-Jewish woman, so the Gemara says that he laughed, and he cried, and he spit. The Gemara tells the whole story, and then he said a bracha, because she was so good-looking, he said a bracha. So the Gemara says he laughed that he saw Beracha HaKadosh, that she's going to convert, and he's going to marry her. Rabbi Akiva had three wives, one after the other, after the other. One was Rochel, the famous wife, and then he had another two wives. So one was a Gieris. He married a Gieris. So he laughed that he saw Beruach HaKadosh, she's going to convert and he's going to marry her. Then he cried, she was so good looking, and he saw Beruach HaKadosh, she's going to die before him, she's going to die at a younger age. And then he spit over the fact that she was so beautiful, Al Hai Shufa de Bali Biara. She was such a gorgeous woman, and she's going to be buried, she's going to die at a young age. Then the Gemara says that he said the bracha that you say when you see a very handsome person. So the Gemara says, he was praising a non-Jewish person. The Gemara says, no, you got to praise the Rabbanu Shalom for creating good-looking women in the world. You're not supposed to look. But the Gemara says he bumped into her. He didn't go to the movies to see her. He bumped into her walking in the street. So he saw how good-looking she was. So he said a blessing to the Rabbanu Shalom. But outside of saying a blessing to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, so the Gemara says you're not supposed to praise anything that a Nachri does, even if it's something. The Rambam writes, more so if it's in the area of intelligence. You just praise the person that is so good looking, such a good athlete. So what's important about that? But if you praise the person that he wrote such a good book, and he's so intelligent, and such a good teacher, so the Rambam says that's more of a prohibition, more of an issur. Why? Because the Rambam explains that human beings are usually very social, and they try to follow what other people are doing. So if you're going to praise this guy that is a wonderful professor or whatever, so you're going to be nimshach after his day. It's a good problem. It's a big problem. We don't know. But the Rambam himself quotes these dinim, that it's not permissible. I don't know.
Are you allowed to praise a rush of like the good things he does? Like you have to like let's say you like a rush who's for the yeshiva,
That's where Moshe Feinstein says that's not permissible. He says that's exactly what the Gemara says, Chanif al-Rishayim. Unless privately, after maybe publicly, jokingly, and to say, someday you're going to be learning with us also. And privately you got to tell him also that he has to shape up a little bit. But if you don't say anything, not in public, not in private, about the fact that he's not leading a proper Jewish life, you just praise him, he's going to go straight to Gan Eden. So that's lifnei, that you're misleading him into believing that he's really going to go to Gan Eden for doing all the averus. He's going to leave everything the way it is.
What about other people when they're not there anymore, so it's not going to happen because they're not
there? Yeah, okay. In a eulogy, it says you're supposed to, you're not supposed to say bizyonis, you're not supposed to be involved with a person. And it says you're allowed to praise a person even in a slightly exaggerated form. Okay. Okay. The pasuk is very remarkable. Why was Yaakov Avinu afraid of Esau? Yaakov Avinu says, Tariag mitzvah shamarti, he was keeping all the mitzvahs. The brother Esau was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So Yaakov Avinu didn't think that he had more schusim than the brother. So there's a famous medrash that says that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of the fact that his brother was in fulfillment of two mitzvahs that he didn't do. One was Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. The brother was living in Eretz Yisrael for the last 22 years and he was not. Even though the brother was not religious, but still, self-kosel, he was living in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, the brother was Meshamish, the father, Kibirav. And he was not. He was not. He wasn't around. He wasn't able to. But bottom line, Yaakov Avinu was missing these two mitzvahs. So he was afraid that the schus of these two mitzvahs, of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael and Kibud Aviyim, may outweigh all of the schusim that he had. The mitzvah of Kibud Aviyim is a very neglected mitzvah. The Tanoim and the Amoraim all say in Kiddushin, the end of the first parent, it's very hard to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Aviyim. Abai was an orphan from both parents. His father died before he was born and the mother died at childbirth. He had no parents. He was raised by his uncle, by Rabbo. And he, Gemara quotes a statement that he says how fortunate he is that he didn't have the Nistoyan, fortunate that he had no parents. He's up to fortunate that he didn't have to violate Kibud Aviyim, which most people who do have parents are negligent about. I belong to the parents' union, so this is a paid advertisement. No, this is a din in the Torah. This is a din of Kibud Aviyim. The din and aseres adibas, believe it or not, it's even noig bezman hazeh min haTorah. It's one of the few mitzvahs deraisa that we still have. So many mitzvahs deraisa, from the 613 mitzvahs, there aren't too many left. If you live in America, not too many. Kibud Aviyim is from the top 10 aseres adibas. It's there, on the top of the list. Kibud Aviyim. In fact, we haven't today said with the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe, the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu had a fight with someone who broke his leg. And then it says, because of this incident, Al-Kain Lo-Yachlam and Esau's Gid Anoshe. That's why the children of Yaakov Avinu don't eat the Gid Anoshe. Why is Al-Kain? In order to remember that story. What's so significant about remembering that story? So here for the Rishonim interpret, we should remember the Zilzul of Kibud Aviyim. A man is 85 years old, according to the tradition of the Gemara. Rashi makes a cheshbon. Yaakov Avinu was 85 years old, and he had 11 children who were teenagers. And they leave the old man all by himself to carry all the valises, to schlep all the packages, and they go to sleep or they're watching television. Or something like that. Why didn't they schlep all the packages? Why didn't they help him? If they would have been with the father, he wouldn't have been mugged. This Vayovik Yishima wouldn't have happened. So they realized that they were negligent, that because they were mizalzal and keep it up, that's why the father had a broken leg. So Al-Kain Lo-Yachlam and Esau's Gid Anoshe as a kapara. They decided that they're going to accept upon themselves never to eat the Gid Anoshe, to remember the way they were inviolate, to remember the way they were mezalzel and kibud av, and the father was hurt because of that. That's what some of the Rishonim interpret in the pasuk. Al-Kain Lo-Yachlu B'nei Yisrael, the children of Yaakov Avinu accepted upon themselves not to eat Gid Anoshe. Others interpret differently. The other Rishonim interpret differently. Al-Kain Lo-Yachlu B'nei Yisrael Gid Anoshe, a different thing. That the Rashi quotes a tradition from the Medrash. By Yayovik Ish Imo, the Ish was a Malach. And Yankov was wrestling with the Malach, and who won the wrestling match? So in the Pasuk, it's a little bit unclear, but the Novi, in last week's Haftarah, the Novi says, Vayasa la Malach Vayuchalo. It says that he was fighting with an angel, and Yankov Avinu beat the angel. When Yaakov Avinu beat out the angel saw he's not going to get out of this lock that he held him in, unless he's going to break his leg. So he broke his leg and he ran away. But the Navi sounds like the Navi is interpreting the Pshat in the Chumash that Yaakov Avinu won the fight against the Malach. What is that? What idea does that represent? So the Rishonim all say that Yaakov represents Klal Yisrael, and the Malach represents Teva, Olam HaTeva, because the Gemara has an expression in Chulin in the first paragraph. Every blade of grass that grows on this earth has a malach namaila hamaka osa v'omalog gadel. The malachim, a lot of times when the Chazal speak about malachim, the Rambam says there are 10 different types of malachim, 10 different categories of malachim. He writes in Hilchos Yesedi HaTorah. So sometimes the term malach just means chukei ha-teva. The Rabbanu Shalom has rules and regulations of chukei ha-teva. So Yankif fighting with the malach and winning represents the idea of ein mazal Yisrael, that the Jewish people are not tachas shlita sakachov mahamazal. It's the kval Yisrael ala maila min ha-teva. As the Pesukim say, I think also on last week's after, the Pesukim say that the Ummah Salem have not succeeded, and they succeed in killing individual Jews, but they have not succeeded in wiping out the Jewish nation. When we're put into a furnace to burn us, we will survive. Avraham Avinu survives in the Kivshan Ho'esh, and after the Holocaust, he would have thought that there wouldn't be any Jews left in the world. So all the yeshivas are picking up, learning is picking up, and the Jews are having, the families are having 15 children each. The Jews are rebuilding themselves. And when we go by Mayim, the Jews are not drowned. Individual Jews are drowned, but the Jewish people is not drowned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Jewish nation will survive despite all of the odds against us. That's the klal of Ein Mazal Yisrael. The Jewish people is not tachas shlita sakachov mahazalus. We are lemaila min ha-teva. So that's represented by this idea that Yankov fights with the Malach and Yankov wins. Yankov wins against Yankov, representing klal Yisrael, wins with the fight against Teva, that we are lemaila min ha-teva. So that's what most of the Rishonim say. Akein lo yochel b'nei Yisrael git anasha means that b'nei Yisrael don't eat git anasha. Remember this ikir in Emunah. Ramban and Chumash writes in a few places that he considers this one of the ikori of Emunah. That ain't mazal Yisrael. He says, does it make sense in any scientific fashion whatsoever that if the Jews observe the laws of Shemitah, then they'll remain in Eretz Yisrael? And if they violate Shemitah, then they'll lose the land. B'derech HaTeva does make any sense? If you keep the mitzvahs, the rain will come. If you don't keep the mitzvahs, it will not rain. There's no scientific explanation for that. So the Ramban says that's correct. There is no scientific explanation. The explanation is that Klal Yisrael is lemaila min ha-teva. Our history is different from that of all the other nations of the world. History of the other nations can be, if you understand the rules and regulations of history, like if you know chemistry well, and you mix two chemicals, you can predict in advance what the outcome is going to be. It's going to turn green. It's going to flare up, or it's going to, whatever, it's going to break, it's going to explode. If you know chemistry, you can predict in advance. If you know medicine, you can predict in advance. Person has a sickness, you can tell them what's going to happen next, what's going to be the further development. And if you know history, well, you can predict in advance what's going to happen in history. There was an essay that was printed years before Pearl Harbor, where one of the analysts predicted that, I think he said in another 15 years or something, the Japanese will attack the Americans on a early Sunday morning in, when was it, in December? December 4th. And he explained why. He said because it's going to take 15 years till it'll be up to it, and the Japanese always make a surprise attack, and the nights are longest in December, and the American soldiers always drink. They always stay up late Saturday night, they shikar zechan, and they wake up late Sunday morning. So if you want to have the best surprise attack, is going to be a Sunday morning in December. And that's what happened. Not because the Japanese read his book and they followed instructions. No, because he predicted correctly. He understood history and he analyzed it properly. So the Ramban writes on Chumash, if a person understands history well, like if a person understands chemistry well, if you understand mathematics well, you can predict if you add two and two, it's going to be four. You don't need so much depth for that. 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 and 4 is 8, etc., etc. So if a person understands any given science, any given discipline, so he can predict in advance, based on that discipline, what's going to be. So all of the history of the world is also the rules and regulations. If you understand well the rules, you can predict the rise and fall of any given country or government or whatever. Except the Ramban, except for the Jewish history. Jewish history is a zigzag chart. It's not rise and fall. Goes up and down, depending. When they do mitzvahs, it goes up. When they do averus, it goes down. That's an ikir and amuni, he says. That ain't mazal Yisrael. Ayotze osa hachutza. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, say me, it's tagnina shalcha. That we are lemaila min ha-teva. So that's supposed to be the idea that's represented by the Gid Anoshe. That Yankov, representing Kolal Yisrael, wins in the fight against the Teva. Mishnah in Chulin in Perigin Onashe has a machloikas satanaim, whether the mitzvah of Gin Onashe began with the Bnei Yaakov or it only began after Matan Torah. So Taisus learns the Pshat Kipshuto, that the one Tana says that it was given right away. Alkein Leyachol Bnei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu didn't need Gin Onashe, and ever since we are observing that mitzvah. And the other Tana says no. Bnei Yisrael means the Jewish. Bnei Yisrael means the Jewish people, and that wasn't given till after Matan Torah. But the reason that that pasuk is written here is that we should know the historical background of the mitzvah, what it represents. But the mitzvah, the tzivu of Gid Anasha, didn't begin at this time at all. It only began later. This is why Taisus understands the machlekes hatanai. Machlekes is the machlekes that's nagei lahalacha, where the Gid Anasha applies to non-kosher animals. If you eat the Gid Anasha of a non-kosher animal, is there an issue Gid Anasha? So one Tana says that the prohibition of Gid Anasha began right away, Koyde Matan Torah, before there was an institution of non-kosher animals. So at the time that it was given, it applied to all the animals, kosher and non-kosher. They were allowed to eat all the animals. So just at Matan Torah, that all of a sudden you're restricted, you're not allowed to eat the non-kosher animals, and now the Yisrael Gid Anasha shouldn't apply. It already applied from the days of Yaakov Avinu, it applied to the non-kosher animals. But the other Tana says, no, the Gid Anasha was only given in Har Sinai, so it was given together with the laws of kashrus. So it's understood that Gid Anasha only applies if the rest of the animal is kosher. You have to rip out the Gid Anasha. If the whole animal is treif, and so you don't have a new additional prohibition on the Gid Anasha, that's the nafkemin al halach and the machloikes satanoi. The Rambam does not understand like this. The Rambam, both in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Perek Gid Anasha and Chulin, as well as in the Mishnah Torah, understands differently. He says l'chol hadeis the mitzvah Gid Anasha began taker from Yad. Because he quotes in Hilchas Melochim, he quotes a Medrash, a Bereshis Rabbah, that says that Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, Bris Milah. Over it gives the history of the development of the Tayag mitzvah. Originally, there were six mitzvahs, because Adam Marisham was not allowed to eat meat. He had to be a vegetarian. And after the Mabul, when Noach was given permission to eat meat, he had a case from the Sakha Lachemes Kol, just like he eats fruits and vegetables. Now he's allowed to eat meat also. So he was told he's not allowed to eat Achbasa B'davsha Domalo Sechel. He's not allowed to eat Eid Menachai. So the Rambam writes, originally there were six mitzvahs, and then there became seven. The mitzvah of Eid Menachai was given. That's why we call the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Why don't we call the seven mitzvahs Adam Rishon? B'nei Adam Rishon, because Adam Rishon was only given six. And Noach was given the seventh, we call the mitzvahs of B'nei Noach. And then this is the way it was until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Bris Milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Hafrashas Maisris. That it says that when Vayirav Baretz Melvadarav Shaharishana Shahayab Me Avraham, when there was a famine, so it says Vayirid Yitzchak El Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerora, he was going down on his way to go to Egypt, like his father Avraham Avinu had done Bimei Harav Harishon. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, you have to stay here. So it says that he's an Oilat Mima, he's not permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. So he planted in Eretz Plishtim, he got 100 times as much as he expected to get. 100 times as much as he thought. Why was he counting his eggs before they hatched? Why was he estimating how much is going to grow? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he made an omed lemaisris. He was calculating how many bushels of tvuah does he think are going to grow and how much maisris is he going to give. And it turned out that he was wrong. It was 100 times more than he thought it was going to be. But you see from this medrash that Yitzchak was given the opportunity to be mafrish maisris. If we would be mafrish maisris in America, nothing would be chal. You can't just volunteer as an enem and tzivu to do whatever you don't please. You can't mafrish maisris from the tape recorders, from the svarim. There's no such thing as afrashas maisris. So Yitzchak was given a mitzvah. He wasn't. We don't get the impression that he was obligated to be mafrish maisris, but he was given the opportunity. If it'll be mafrish maisris, it'll be chal. Then the Rambam quotes the Medrash, the Bereshis Rabba, that Yaakov Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Gid Anasha. Each one of the others was given a mitzvah. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milah, and he says that he instituted Tfilah Shachris. And Yitzchak was given the inyan of Yitzchak Hifrish Maisris. He doesn't say Yitzchak went to Nitztabala Maisris, just says Yitzchak Hifrish Maisris, and he instituted Tfilah Smincha. Yaakov was Nitztaba al Gid Anasha, and he introduced Tfilah Sarvis. What is the, just parenthetically, what is the Medrash driving at? What is it trying to bring out? The Rav Soloveitchik interpreted, he thought that the Medrash is trying to say the following, that we see in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with each one of the others. Yizachakis B.C. Yaakov, Yaakis B.C. Yitzchak, Yaakis B.C. Abraham, Eskor. Each one of the others he made a bris. A bris usually means they make a Kedushas Yisrael. You and that, we have a Kedushas bris with our Kedush Baruch, and so we have a Kedushas Yisrael. So it's mashma a little bit from the Pesukim that Avraham Avinu had a Kedushas Yisrael, and Yitzchak sounds like he had a more intense Kedushas Yisrael. Otherwise, what he'd need another bris? The same bris with Avraham Avinu, perpetuated by his children and his grandchildren. So the answer is that Yitzchak was given additional mitzvah, so his Kedushas Yisrael was more intense. And Yaakov Avinu was given additional mitzvah, so his Kedushas Yisrael was more intense. So that's what the Medrash Rabba tries to figure out, which mitzvahs did Yitzchak have that Yaakov didn't have, which additional mitzvahs did Yitzchak that Avram didn't have, and what did Yaakov get that Yitzchak didn't have. So that's what the Medrash says, no, they had their Isis and their Rabbanans. Avraham Avinu had Mila and Idav and Shachris, Yitzchak had Mincha, Yitzchak had Maestris, and he made a Takana de Rabbanon of Mincha, and Yaakov was giving Gidan Nosh, and he made a Takana de Rabbanon of Mai. Each one had a deeper Kedushas Yisrael, because each one was given an additional mitzvah. That's why Kodesh Baruch made a bris with each one of the others. So the Rambam understands, the Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Malachim, that the tzivui, the mitzvah of Gidan Nosh, was given to Yaakov Avinu. And nonetheless, the Rambam quotes this other Mishnah from Perek Gidan Osh and Chulin, that the true Yaakov was Netzava on Gidan Osh, but the fact that we today continue to observe the mitzvah of Gidan Osh is not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu, but rather because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Perek Gidan Osh has a long paragraph about this, a whole essay, where he explains what he's driving at. Avraham Avinu was Netztava Milo, but he says he wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever he was, Netztava is only going to be a Hirah Shor. It can't be of a lasting nature. The fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvah of Milo is not because Avraham Avinu was Netztava, but rather because Moshe Rabbeinu was Netztava at Har Sinai. The mitzvah is repeated in Chumash and Parshas Tazria. So our obligation to fulfill Milo, the Rambam writes, same as Gidan Osh, is not because it was given to Avram, and not because Gidan Osh was given to Yaakov, but rather because it was repeated at Har Sinai. So this is a big yesod in the Rambam. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNeviim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was ever given a mitzvah which is Noheges L'Doros. The other Neviim were given a Nevuah. Nevuah by definition means a Hirah Shor. That's exactly the difference between Nevuah and a mitzvah. Rashi writes in his commentary on Chumash, in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Ein Lashon Tzav, Lashon Zeres Miyad Uladaris. That the word Tzivui, Mitzvah, Tzav, means an obligation that applies throughout all the future generations. And that's Alpi Pashtas, what the Rambam postulates in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, La Rambam. The Gemara says in many places that there are 613 mitzvahs. So the Rishonim and the Goyim had a problem that there are millions of mitzvahs. How do you take millions of mitzvahs and shrink them into 613? So the Rambam has a whole Sefer HaMitzvahs. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it gives you the 14 kolalim, the 14 sharoshim that guide him in determining what should be counted and what not. So the Rambam has as one of the sharoshim, one of the guiding principles is that you only count the mitzvah which is Noheges L'Doros. Mitzvah which is only Hirah Shor is not really a mitzvah. Ein Loshen Tzav, Loshen Ziris, Miyad L'Doros. So this cuts out already a lot of dinim. Not to leave up a man overnight, that was only Hirah Shor for the 40 years of the Midbar. And to knock on the next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach and to ask for matonis before Yitzias Mitzrayim, that was only once in the history of the world. And Harmis Matchal Ayam of Koeir to do Priyas Yamsu, to do all the other. There are many psukim nechumish that don't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvah Taka not there because they're only Hirah Shor. And there is every so often there's a pasuk where there's a machlekes or rishayim. Was that only Hirah Shor? Is that a mitzvah l'doros? If it's only Hirah Shor, it doesn't belong in the listing of the Tariq mitzvahs. If it's a din l'doros, then it does belong. So that's really the point that the Rambam is bringing out over here, that the fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvahs of Mila and of Gidan Osh is not at all because it was given to Avraham Avinu or to Yaakov Avinu, as great tzaddik as they were, as great as a Navi as they were, but the only one who was the Adon HaNeviim, the only one who got Torah mitzvahs was Moshe Rabbeinu. The others were only given the Nevuahs. So these tzivuim had to be repeated at Har Sinai in order to make it binding throughout all the future generations. Rav Soloveitchik writes in one of his printed essays that there's an idea that's subscribed to by both Rab Chaim Valozhiner in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim and the first Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Sefer of the Tanya. 99% they say the same on everything. They're just a small point in Kabbalah where they disagree with each other. So one of the 99% of things that they both say the same is about this. Why do we adopt the position? Why are the Orthodox so obstinate on this point? Shazal Satar Losei Mochlefes Losei Tarachas Meis HaBoyri Yis Baruch Shema. The Rambam has 13 Ikori HaMuna. So one of them is that the laws of the Torah are immutable. The laws can never change. Why can't the laws change? What's this? We have the American Constitution, and every so often the Congress changes the laws. Every state has its system of laws, and they change the laws. So what's so bad? Why doesn't it make sense that the Ribbono Shel Olam should decide to change his laws? So they both explain why. We live in a changing world, so a lot of times the psak will be different because the shaila is a different shaila. The Shulchan Aruch stays the same, but do you apply Sif Aleph, Sif Beis, Sif Gimel, or Sif Dalet? So that depends on what the circumstances are. So a lot of times the psak is changing because the shaila is different, because the mitzvah is different, but the system of laws stays the same. The halachas stay the same. So why do the halachas have to stay the same? What would be so terrible if the halachas would change? So the Balatanya and Rav Chaim Valozhiner both explain the same thing based on the Zohar, and then they say it says in the Gemara also. The Zohar has a statement, has an expression, Pikudin, the mitzvahs in and evar in the Malkah. These are the limbs of the king. It means that all of the mitzvahs put together give you a picture of Elokus. The mitzvahs are mitzvahs. The mitzvah says it means you got to do them. You have to shake a lulav and you have to say krishma and you have to keep Shabbos. And the mitzvahs loy sasei really mean you're not allowed to do these averes. They're not just concepts. They're actual mitzvahs sasei, mitzvahs loy sasei that have to be observed. But in addition to being obligations that you have to do and you're not allowed to violate, they also add up to a sum total picture of Elokus. It's a mashal of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is like. It's not a direct mashal. A direct mashal we wouldn't understand if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us the description, a very sharp, clear-cut description of definition of Elokus. We wouldn't understand one word. That's what the Kuzari has and others from the Middle Ages write such a similar expression. Ili Yidaiti Fayisiv. If I would understand Elokus, I would be God Himself. The only one who really understands the essence of Elokus is HaKadosh Baruch Himself. So HaKadosh Baruch cannot give us a description, a real full-fledged description of Elokus. We wouldn't understand one word. E equals, Elokus equals MC squared. So you understand what Elokus is? We wouldn't understand. So he gave a mashal. If he would give a mashal, we wouldn't understand either. So Rav Chaim Valozhiner says he gave us a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. That's the Medrash says when Rabbi Kiva once came to shul at the Mincha Meirev, so the Balabatim had to wait 5 minutes to daven Meirev till his man. So he said, Rabbi, maybe give us a mini shiur for 5 minutes. So he said, I'm not prepared. He said, Rabbi, you sit and learn the whole day, just tell us something that you know. He says, no, I'm not prepared, I have to prepare. To say a shiur, you have to prepare. And he said, when the Ribbono Shel Olam was about to give the Torah HaSinai, so the pasuk says in Iyov, Elokim Chakorah v'gam derosha techina Chakorah. He prepared for Maimon HaSinai. So from there we learn out that before this is quoted in the Beis Yosef in the Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, that the Balkari has to go over the Sedra Machlek Zidah 3 times or 4 times, 2 versions in the Medrash, how many times he has to go over. And the Rebbe, before he says a Shir, is supposed to also prepare either 3 times or 4 times. Not all Rabbein prepare so much. Used to be a Rebbe Henny Shiva, never used to prepare. So the Menayel of the Yeshiva always used to complain that the students say he never prepares. So he said, no, he wants to teach the students how to make a lena. So he has to come in cold. He has to come in, doesn't know which masifta we're up to. He's sure he's teaching them how to make a lena. Namish on the spot. You can teach how to make a lena by preparing also. You can put on an act as if you're not prepared. I remember years ago, 30 years ago, they told a story about the Blazer Shach, that once he got up in the Yeshiva and he said, Ashir Kloli. And then after 35 minutes he stopped. He says, up until here he prepared 4 times. And from here on he only prepared 3 times. You're not allowed to say the shir. So some are more medactic than others. Okay. I used to have a chavrusa. He knew the whole chumash bal peh. So whenever he had a lane on Shabbos, as he would be walking from his home to the shul, he would be saying, I remember Vayishlach Taka. He was once saying Vayishlach by heart, as we were walking together in the street. And he said it like that. So that's against the halacha. He's supposed to prepare three, four times. Three times or four times. He's supposed to prepare. So Rav Chaim Volozhin talks about this medrash. What do you mean, the Rabbanu Shalom had to prepare? What does that mean, the Rabbanu Shalom had to prepare before he gave the Rabbanu Shalom didn't... Okay, Rabbi Akiva is a boss of Adam. What does it mean, the Rabbanu Shalom had to prepare before he gave the Torah? So he says, Rav Chaim Volozhin explains, if the Rabbanu Shalom would give a full description of Elokus, that's what it means. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, the word Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Anochi is the Russian Tavis, Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis. I have written down my essence and I gave it over to you. Ribbono Shel Olam wrote down the whole Torah and he gave us a description of his essence. Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, if he would give us a full description of Elokus, we wouldn't understand one word. If he would give us a mashal, we wouldn't understand the mashal either. He had to give us a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. He had to lower the level of the Torah. So a mashal of a mashal, and now it was presented to us in such a way that we have all of these mitzvahs, and the concepts represented by these mitzvahs represent different aspects of Elokus. And that's the meaning of that passage in the Zohar that says that Tikudin, all of the mitzvahs, Inan Evarim de Malka, these are the limbs of the king. Means that this is a description of Elokus. That's the that's assumed. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, that's assumed to be the pshat in the Ramban, the Hakdama to the Pirush and Chumash, but the Ramban writes, I call it Taruku, the Shmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, description of Elokus. And where does it say it? In the Gemara, so Rav Chaim Volozhin quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, comment on the Pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekro, HaVagod De Lalakeinu, that from that Pasuk we derive that when one is about to learn Torah, he's obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah. Where do you see from the Pasuk that one is about to learn Torah? Kishem Hashem Ekra Habagod Lalakeinu. The Gemara has another interpretation. When you hear the Kohen Gadol say the Shem Amfarish, you have to bow down and you have to scream out, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Aliyah Avod. Okay, Kishem Hashem Ekra. When you call out in the name of God, Habagod Lalakeinu, you give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do you see in the Pasuk when you're learning Torah that you have to say Birchas HaTorah in advance? So the Maharsha and the Chedush HaGadol and that Gemara Brachas comments, that's what the Ramban said. Kol ha-tarakul ha-shmoisav shal ha-kadosh baruch hu. So Kishem Hashem Ekra means when I'm about to discuss the essence of Elokus, when I'm about to learn Torah, over God l'lokeinu, we have an obligation to recite Birchas HaTorah. And that's the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Shem Olam that that's probably the meaning of the Medrash that Rashi quotes on Parshas Mishpatim. The Pasuk says that if a person kills B'mezid, he gets the death penalty. If a person kills B'shegi, he has to run away to the Ori Miklot. So why is he punished with this? He killed B'shegi, it's not his fault. Why does he have to run away to the Ori Miklot? So it says... Why have to run away? What did I do? I'm just a tool in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do I have to suffer? I have to stop my whole business for a couple of years and run away to the Ramikla till the Gadol dies. What did I do? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that says the Megagolim, the Gemara has it, Megagolim Schusai de Zaka Vechayva de Chayva. Sometimes why I have to run away? What did I do? I'm just a tool in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do I have to suffer? I have to stop my whole business for a couple of years and run away to the Ramikla till the Gadol dies. What did I do? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that says the Megagolim, the Gemara has it, Megagolim Schusai De Zaka Vechayva De Chayva. Sometimes when the Ribbono Shel Olam wants good things to happen in the world, so he'll suspend the Bechira Chashis of a Tzaddik and cause him to do the good activities in the world, and he'll go down in history as a great guy. He didn't necessarily have the freedom of choice to choose this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes suspends his Bechira Chavshis to force him to do it, because he wants history to develop in that direction. That's called Magagalim Schus Ayde Zaka. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants dirty work to be done in the world, and he has to send the Shliach to do the dirty work. So he'll pick on a Rasha, who's an evil person anyway, he'll suspend his Bechira Chavshis, and it'll cause him to do the terrible things in the world. Magagalim Chayva Ayde Chayv. So that's a pasuk in Navi that says, Merishoyim Teitzei Resha. Pasuk says, Kashirem HaMoshal HaKadmoini, as the ancient proverb goes, Merishoyim Teitzei Resha. So that's what the Medrash says over here. How come I have to run away to the Ori Miklot if Elokim Inu Yara, Kodesh Baruch Hu caused me to fall down a ladder and hit this guy on the head and kill him? So it's not my fault, so why do I deserve a punishment? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, and the Gemara has the Medrash. The guy, one of them really did an avera, he deserves the death penalty, but the courts never caught up with him. So Min HaShamayim, they're going to say to him that he should be on the ground. And I don't deserve the death penalty, I deserve a punishment for something else that I did. So they're going to cause me to fall on this guy, so he should get killed, so Min HaShamayim, he's getting the punishment that he deserves, and I also deserve a punishment for something else that I did. So now because HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Min HaShamayim, I should fall on this person and kill him, an accident, so I'll have to run away to the Ori Miklot. I do need a kapora. It's not just for no reason that they picked me to be the Shliach L'Ro to cause this individual to die. It must be Megagalim Chayv Ayde Chayv. Merishayim Yetzei Rashi. So that's where Rashi quotes that Medrash. Kashayayim Ha'an, the Pasuk, Kashayayim Ha'amashal HaKadmoini, Merishayim Yetzei Rashi. So Rashi adds on, the Medrash adds on, what is the Mashal HaKadmoini? The Chumash. And the Pasuk, Merishayim Yetzei Rashi, is this Pasuk, Ve'alekim Inu Liyadu. Because the Pasuk says it was God's fault and I have to go to the Ori Miklot. So it means that God saw to it that I should be the Shliach L'Ro to cause this person to die, but I deserve the punishment for previous mitzvahs, the Ma'asim Tovim that I did, previous averes that I did. So now the punishment is that I go to the Ori Miklot. So why is this pasuk, why is the Chumash referred to as the Moshel HaKadmon in the ancient proverb? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kadmon HaShalolim, he's the ancient one, with the capital A, he's the ancient one. And the Moshel HaKadmon is the Torah, Shehu Mishalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kadmon HaShalolim. The Torah is Mishalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So it doesn't really mean it's an ancient proverb. It does mean an ancient proverb. It means a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Shem Olam, one of the small svarim. He writes, it doesn't only mean that it's a mashal authored by God. No, it's a mashal of God. It's a mashal of the Kol HaTorah Kula is a description of Elokus. It's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, mashal ma'adav adayme, the Chafetz Chaim writes, like a photograph. If there's a person I never saw in real life, but I saw his photograph in the newspaper, so if I'd be walking in the streets, I'd be able to identify him based on the photograph, because he's going to look similar to the photograph. So too, the whole Chumash, from the beginning to the end, is a description of Elokus. So the Torah is a mashal, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only a mashal authored by God, a mashal by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Nefesh HaChaim and the Tanya both say, that the reason why the Rambam insists on this Iker in Amuna, Zos Hatar Losi Mochlefes, is because the Navi tells us, the Navi Malachi says, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, V'atem B'nei Yankiv Lo Chilisim, that God's essence does not change. The world that He created is subject to change, and HaKadosh Baruch Himself is not subject to change. So if God's essence doesn't change, then the Torah cannot change. If the Torah were merely a collection of mitzvahs, you have to do, you have to perform these mitzvahs, and you're not permitted to violate these mitzvahs, so there wouldn't be any reason why it shouldn't be subject to change. Why shouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, in a different generation, do differently? But because we believe that the Torah is something much more than that, the Torah certainly is a collection of mitzvahs and isurim, mitzvahs and mitzvahs, but it's something more than that. Kol HaTorah Kula is a description of Elokus, and Elokus is not subject to change. So that's why all the mitzvahs in the Torah are also not subject to change. And this is the significance of what the Rambam is bringing out by the mitzvah of Gid Anoshi. He says that Mila and Gid Anoshi today are observed. He interprets the Mishnah saying this. We today continue to observe Mila and Gid Anoshe, not because they were given to Avraham Avinu, not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu. The other Nevi'im outside of Moshe Rabbeinu were only given Nevuas. Nevuah by definition means Hayruashua. The only one who was given Mitzvah, the only one who was given a full description of Elokus was Moshe Rabbeinu. The others saw glimpses here and there. The only one who's given a full description of Elokus, which is not subject to change and which is binding throughout all the generations, is Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's Alpi Pashtus, the meaning of the Pasuk in Bahaloscha that describes the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam writes that there were four differences between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the other Nevi'im, based on the Pesukim in Chumash. And that's why he calls Moshe Rabbeinu the Adon HaNevi'im. So the Pasuk describes the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Usmunas Hashem Yabit. He saw the image of God. What do you mean he saw the image of God? God doesn't have any image. The Rambam counts as one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah, that God doesn't have any body, doesn't have any physical features. And the Rambam thinks that one who believes that God has a physical body is an apikoros. It's in violation of one of the Ikar Emunah. At the time that the Rambam wrote it, many Balei HaTosfos held him as an apikoros because it was against Tanakh. They were burning Sifrei HaRambam because of that statement, that God has no body. And today, by now, the Balei HaTosfos have come to the realization that the Rambam is right, that the Ribono Shel Olam has no body. It says Yad Hashem, and Af Hashem, and Ragli Hashem, and everything, Eli Hashem, these are all melitzas, it doesn't really mean it. So what does it mean that the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is, Usmunas Hashem Yabit, he saw the image of God. So that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who saw a full picture of Elokus, a mashal. Means he was the only one to whom the Taryag mitzvahs were given. The other ones were only given Nevuah. Nevuah means Hayruashah. The only one who was given the full description of Elokus, which means Kol HaTorah Kula, Shmoisel Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, the description of Elokus, was Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Rav Soloveitchik Farem for the Kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch has a Kasha. The Gemara points out there is a din that Oiv al Divrei Novi is Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. One who violates Tzivi HaNovi is going to be punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. Misa B'dei Shamayim is considered a little lower punishment than Koris. The Gemara says in the end of Moed Kodem, Koris, he died at the age of 50, unless there are other considerations, and Misa B'dei Shamayim died at the age of 60. That's 10 years longer. The Avner Miluin points out that the Yerushalmi holds Raker, that Misa B'dei Shemayim is Mochamen and Koris, but the Bavli in the end of Leah's Daf and Moed Katan presents it this way. The Koris is considered Mochamen. So the Gemara gives a brief list in Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Dalei, Gemara quotes a Tosefta, a brief list of Elu Sheb Misa. The following Averas are punished with Misa B'dei Shemayim. The list is a very short list. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with Akasha. Anyone who violates any one of the Taryag Mitzvot Hatar should be considered Oy Rav Divrei Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara, he made it up on his own. He said it b'nevuah. When he said you have to wake up in the morning and say Krishma Bismana, he's making it up. He's saying it b'nevuah. So whoever violates any one of the Mitzvot Hatar is Oy Rav Divrei Novi Schai Misa B'dei Shemayim. So what do you give such a short list? Whoever violates any din derayse is Oy Rav Divrei Novi. He's automatically Misa B'dei Shemayim. That's the kash of the Minchas Chinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch has a teretz based on an expression that Rashi uses in the Mishnah, in his Pirush on Mishnayis on Sanhedrin. Rashi writes, Eibad Nirei Dovi, he writes, he's mevater, he's mezalzel. He makes fun of the whole story. But if he listens, he knows that there's an Issa Lashon Hara. We all know, but we just can't control our the desire is so great. Such a juicy piece of Lashon Hara, you have to listen, you have to... I'm not Mekabel. Okay, let's go. I'm not Mekabel. Let me hear. Oh, you just can't control yourself. Mamish b'kuach nefesh. I'll die if I don't say this juicy piece of Lashon Hara. Everybody, we know it's not permissible. We know it's an aver, but we don't control ourselves. So he said that's not called Oy Rav Divrei Novi. He says based on Rashi, Oy Rav Divrei Novi means he says, yeah, I'm never going to listen to this. But if in principle he subscribes to the Divrei Novi, just he can't control his desire to violate it, so he thinks maybe that's not considered Oy Rav Divrei Novi. That's the teretz that Minchas Chinuch has, based on Rashi's Loshen in Sanhedrin. The Ragat Shava has another teretz on the Kash, he quotes us Asifrei, on the din of Zoken Mamre, that Zoken Mamre, who is in violation of the Psak of the Bez Nagol, is Chai Misa, only Ashali Yishmal Divrei, to the words of the Bez Nagol, only if he heard directly from the Bez Nagol. If they printed it in the newspapers and he violated the stock, so the Sifrei says there's no din of Zoken Mamre, only if he heard directly. So the Ragachava suggests maybe Ever al Divrei Navi only applied to the Dor HaMidbar. Whoever heard it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Ever al Divrei Navi. Those who live in the later generation, we weren't there when Moshe Rabbeinu said it, even though you're in violation of Nevuah, but you're not Ever al Divrei HaNavi. We didn't hear it directly from the Navi. He thinks that's the way out. That's the Teretz, why there's no Misa V'Dei Shemai. But today, the generally accepted Teretz is the Teretz that Rav Soloveitchik said many years ago. And that became standard. Now everybody writes, this is the Teretz. He said the Teretz is that the Kasha is based on a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. Half of what he said was B'Torah HaRasha, and much of what he said was B'Torah HaRasha, and most of what he said was B'Torah Dinim L'Doiris. Ever al Divrei Navi only doesn't apply whenever a Navi tells you something. No. Whenever a Navi tells you to do a Dvar Nevuah, which means by definition a HaRasha, but if you have Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNavim tells you to observe mitzvahs, that's already mochomer. That's not in the category of Ever al Divrei Navi. That's Torah mitzvahs already. So that has other rules and regulations. When is it Malkus, and when is it Misa, and when is it Kares, and when is it Misa B'Dei Shemayim? We have a whole series of rules and regulations. You don't say that everything in Torah mitzvahs is considered Ever al Divrei Navi. No, Ever al Divrei Navi only applies to Dvar Nevuah, which by definition is the Heru Ashur. So this is all part of what the Rambam writes in his essay in Pirush HaMishnayos on Gil HaNoshen. Why the Tanoim insisted, Machlokes Rav Yehuda and Chachamim, why the Tanoim insisted that Gil HaNoshen must have been repeated later at Har Sinai? It couldn't be that we are prohibited to eat Gil HaNoshen today because of the tzivu that was given to Yankov Avinu. Yankov Avinu was not Moshe Rabbeinu. He was not the Adon HaNavim, the only one who gave Torah mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations was Moshe Rabbeinu. So the tzibui that was given to Yaakov Avinu was only Lohai Rasha. The tzibui that was repeated to Har Sinai, even though we don't have a pasuk in a Chumash, the Tanaim say it doesn't make a difference. Mitzvah Smila is repeated in Parshas Tazria, V'yom HaShmini Imo B'Sar HaLosan. But even though we don't have a second pasuk here for Gidon Ashe, the Tanaim and the Mishnah understand on their own it must have been repeated, otherwise it wouldn't be binding to them. That's the Dukudis of Machlokes, yeah, and Iker and Amuna. And we assume the Iker is like the Chachamim against Reb Yudah. That's what the Rambam says. Reb Yudah says, not so. It was commanded to Yaakov, and it's still binding today out of Yamazah because of the Tzibah to Yaakov. And supposedly he would probably say the same by Mitzvah Smila, that we are today obligated to observe Mitzvah Smila because of the fact that it was commanded to Avraham Avinu. And the Rambam says, rule, that these Tzibuyim are, the Rambam says that we follow the Chachamim, the Reb Yudah, who say not so, not by Milo and not by Gid HaNoshe. Fundamental machlokes. Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz has a sefer on Yerbedeh that's called Crazy Placey. See, he writes in the Crazy Placey that somebody, when he speaks about Gid HaNoshe, so he writes that some expert crackerjack told him that the Gid HaNoshe is only found in the male animals in the species, in the Behemah Tohira. It doesn't apply to Oph, it only applies to Behemah B'chayim. So it's only found in the males, it's not found in the females. So the place he writes, Apella, how can he say that? It's against the Smag. The Smag writes explicitly, Noig B'schar B'Benikevis. So how can this expert say such a thing? So all the latest forum don't understand what the Placek effect Akash. Noig B'schor B'kevis means that Jewish men and women are prohibited from eating Gid HaNoshe, but it doesn't mean the animals. He's not talking about this expert, crackerjack, may be right, he may be wrong. It may be that he's wrong, but that's not what the Smag is. The Smag is talking about Nikevis, Jewish women are not permitted to eat Gid HaNoshe, but he's not talking about female animals. Whether the Gid HaNoshe exists in the leg of the female animals. That's a question of biology. Does the Gid HaNoshe appear in the female species or not, or only in the male species? That's a famous strange place why he makes such a statement. The Gemara has a comment on the pasuk right after Yaakov survives his encounter with his brother Esau. So he approaches the city Shem, Vayava Yaakov Shalom Ir Shem, and then he has all the trouble with his daughter Dinah. But that's what Rashi quotes the Medrash. Why did he have trouble with Dino? Because he was a little overcautious. He was afraid that Dino shouldn't even meet Esav. So he locked her up in a box and he nailed the box closed. Achad aso yolodov. He hid Dino. So because he was overcautious, so that's why this was counterproductive. And what turned out was that she was living, she was taken away by a goy. She was attacked by a goy. We all have to be careful in raising our children. You have to be cautious, you have to be very cautious, but if a person is sometimes overcautious, this will often have the opposite result. A lot of times parents are so overcautious on their children, they don't allow any televisions, no radios, no televisions, nothing. And then once in a long while when the children visit by someone else, they never saw television before. They sit and stay up all night long watching television. And then they fall in love with this, and then they're angry at the parents. Why the parents never told them such a thing as a television, never heard of a radio, and so on. So parents have to be careful not to be overcautious. You can't be undercautious either. You have to be careful to give you the exact chinuch that each child needs. Mesillas Hashem writes out Shloshan. Min hazehirus shelo lehizar yosem idan. Part of caution is not to be overcautious. Sometimes people exaggerate. That's ridiculous, but it's a little bit you have to be. So the pasuk says, when Yaakov Avinu came to the city Shechem, Vayichanas Pnehu Ir. It's a strange pasuk, it's a very unclear what it means, Vayichan Es Pnehu Ir. He camped on the outskirts of the city, opposite the city, facing the city. Vayichanas Pnehu Ir. So the Gemara has three levels of interpretation in Perek Bamamad Likin. The Gemara has three interpretations. Miloshen Chain, that he added Chain in charm to the city. So one level of interpretation that he introduced them to the concept of having a monetary system, that they always used to have barter. But this guy which left Hamachle Parah Bahamor, that's the only Mishnah that they do. Hamachle Parah Bahamor is in Bob and Tzia Dabkuf. And he introduced to them monetary system, a checking system and money. You don't have to schlep all the elephants and all the hamarim, everything. You have a money system and checking system and you streamline the business world. And then the Gemara says another level of interpretation. What else, what other charm did he add to the city? He introduced shopping malls. Instead of having you buy your meats over there and you buy the groceries over there and you buy the furniture over here and you buy the automobiles over there, so you have a shopping mall. You have all the stores together in the same place. It's easier to go shopping. And then a third level of interpretation, the Gemara says that they had no good hygienic conditions. So he introduces to them the concept of bathing. He introduced Bote Mechatzos, Tikin Leh. Bote Mechatzos and Shvokim and the shopping malls and Matbeya, all of these wonderful things. So what the Chazal are telling us is that the Jewish people, Yaakov Avinu represents Klal Yisrael, so Jewish people have an obligation to participate in the world. We have to improve the situation of all of mankind. We have to take care of our particular needs. We're Jewish, but we're also human beings. So we have to take care with a proper proportion. You have to take care of the whole world, and you have to take care of the Jewish individual particular needs as well. But we shouldn't neglect the general needs of the whole society. You shouldn't say, well, the goyim will take care of all the medicine and all the science, and we'll just sit and learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. We have to somehow be in all of the fields at the same time. Pasuk says that as Yaakov Avinu was traveling, comes back there to Israel. Bayal me olav elokim b'makom asher diber ito. That the Shechina was resting on Yaakov Avinu. Shechina was sure on Yaakov Avinu, and then the Shechina went back to heaven. Bayal me olav elokim. So the Medrash comments on this pasuk. Ramban quotes this Medrash. They have such a similar pasuk by Avram Avinu as well. So the Medrash comments on the pasuk, Ha'avos hein hein ha'merkava. The Avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yankov were always a mokum for Hashras Hashchina. This is a question in Ramban, in other essays. where he talks about this medrash, does this only refer to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Those are the same Heina Markova, or refers to all the tzaddikim? But in a certain sense, this refers particularly to the Ovos. The Ramban in the introduction to Chumash Shmos writes, the Chumash Shmos is the Sefer HaGolos VaHaGeula, the first Golos and the Geula Heimenu. So then he poses a question though, but it wasn't the full Geula, because the Golos is that they left Eretz Yisrael. The Geula is when they returned back to Eretz Yisrael. They don't return back to Eretz Yisrael until Sefer Yoshua. So how is it even when you get to the end of Chumash Shmos, they're still not out of the Golos, they're still in the same Golos as before? So Ramban says wrong. The original state, the wonderful state, was the Soda Laka Aleo Halehem. He's quoting a Pasuk in Iyov, paraphrasing a Pasuk in Iyov. They had the Ashuas Hashchina and the Ovis. And then when they went into Golos Mitzrayim, they no longer had the special Ashuas Hashchina. And then at the end of Chumash Shmos, when they built the Mishkan, they okay. Thank you.